Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm glad you're here. Hey, we're continuing our discussion on how to worship in spirit and in truth and what that means. And we invite those of you who are looking online to take your Bible and find Psalm 23 like the rest of us are doing in our Bibles this morning. We're kind of following along the verses. And what we're discovering is what we learn about God in the midst of worshiping God. A lot of times we think that when we sing a song, it's just, well, that's just a song we're supposed to sing. But we can discover so much in a song. And that worship is more than singing a song. It's our lifestyle. It's the way we treat our parents. Parents, it's the way you treat your children, your grandchildren. It's the way you work at your job. And do you put all of your effort into your job, or do you goof off? You know, all that's an act of worship. Is it true worship? Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? So worship is a lifestyle. It's who we do. It's what we do as Christians. And so last week we talked about, as we worship in spirit and in truth, we discover God's passion for us, we discover His provision for us, we discover His peace that He gives us. And this morning, what I want to talk about, three things, would be we discover His purpose, right? His purpose. What is His purpose? So Psalm 23, let's read it. And you can read along with me if you'd like to out loud, if you care to do that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So the third thing we see is in verse 3 here. It says, He restores my soul. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a troubled soul this morning? Okay, I see a lot of hands going up. The rest of you are lying. It's okay. Just kidding. You know, having a troubled soul is kind of like a roller coaster. Some days it's really crazy. Some days you're fine. Some days you're crazy. Some days you're fine. I was watching a ball game last night, and they were talking about the winning quarterback of that particular game. And he said that last year he was just out of sorts. He just couldn't get focused and everything. And over the break in between football, He decided to return back to my spiritual roots and turn back to God. And he said, I just really refocused myself on God and on who He is and His purpose for my life. He said, I didn't center myself on football. I wanted to center myself on God, and football would come. And so sure enough, he centered himself as a much better player this year, apparently. He beat Alabama, so he must be doing something right. I don't know. Sorry, I just had to say that. I don't know why, but it just came out. But it was a great testimony to how God can center us in the midst of chaos in our lives, right? But we must return to Him to do that. So what is God's purpose for us? And more specifically, what is His purpose for you and you, you and you? What is His purpose? His purpose is to restore your soul. He knows how we're made. He said, I know you're made. You're made of dust, and from dust you return to dust. I get that. I know, He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, right? He said, now I've overcome the world. I've done my part, but you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have to trust me with some of this stuff, right? I'll let you decide what color socks you put on in the morning, right? But the rest of it you need to trust me with, is what He's saying. I want to restore your soul. You know, we often think God's sitting up there not caring about how we feel and what we're going through, the traumas of life, the trials of life, the troubles of life. But He does care. He cares greatly about what we're going through. Listen to these verses. Psalm 51:12, the psalmist cried out, restore to me the joy of your salvation, right? And that's what it means to center yourself in God. It means to find out what His joy is for you, not your joy in this life, but what is His joy? You know, we oftentimes want to be happy. You know, we're promised, you know, the pursuit of happiness, right? Well, Jesus promises something a whole lot better than that. Happiness depends on what happens to you, right? So if your football team wins, whether it's real football, soccer, or American football, you're happy about that. You get excited, you know, you applaud, you're happy. But then that game's over, right? And you got to play again next week. You got to worry about being happy. Are they going to win or not? So happiness is determined by what happens to you. Joy is something God gives us. Amen. In the midst of the chaos. Isaiah 57:18 says, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him, and I will restore him. And that passage is talking about those who had wandered off. He says, I've seen his ways. I know how bad he is, but I'm going to restore him. I'm going to restore his soul. So no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you've been, God says, I can restore that if you'll let me. Jeremiah 30:17 says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. What that cleanse us means is he wants to restore us to the relationship that we first had with him. He loves restoring our soul. He loves coming in and saying, this is where we were. Let's get back to that and let's move forward on that track. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Whatever the care is, just say, God, I've got this problem. I don't know what to do with it. And he says, well, hand it to me. Let me take care of that. That's what he's asking. And Nahum, probably a book in the Bible you haven't read in a long, long time, chapter 1:7 says, he cares for those who trust in him. Right? And then Psalm 55:22 says, cast your care upon the Lord. Our Father, as we read in this passage, loves to restore our soul because it needs to be restored. For most of us, it's every day. Amen? Or amen, right? Sometimes every hour. And if you're a school teacher, sometimes every, 2.3 seconds, right? Right? He loves to restore our soul. All right, the fifth thing we discover as we worship God is we discover his paths, right? He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for your name's sake. He's not trying to make a name out of you. He's not trying to lift your name up and make you important. Oh, look what Jim did. Look what Jim did, right? No. He's leading you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And righteousness is a right relationship, a right walk with him. He wants to lead us in that narrow path because it brings glory to him. It lifts up his name. So his paths are those things that guide us, right, into the right place we're supposed to be, in the right relationship. He loves leading us down the right path. God will never lead you down the wrong path. Amen. If you're going down a path and people all around you are saying, that's the wrong path, that's the wrong path, that's the wrong path, you need to listen because God's speaking through them saying, that's the wrong path. Don't choose that path. Teenagers, if your parents are saying, don't do whatever it is, don't do whatever it is, you might want to listen. Pause a minute before you give your mouth back. You never let me do anything, right? Just stop a minute and say, you know, my old man, no, don't say it that way. My dad or my mom might be right in this situation. Maybe I need to go to my room and think about it for a minute before I open my mouth and stick both feet in, right? We've all done that. You know, I can remember being 16 and 17 and I got kicked out of choir. Can you believe that? No. I was mouthing off at somebody for some reason, got kicked out of choir as a 16-year-old. I don't know what was going on. It was a bad day. And you're appalled, right? It was a bad day. Boom. I did. I had a mouth at 16. But the worship leader, the minister of music, was such an amazing man. He came right back after that and had a chat with me, right? This is what you did wrong. This is what you need to correct. And gave me a solo and the big Christmas production we were doing, my first solo, to sing a song, because he believed in me, but he also needed to correct me. He did the right thing both times, right? So I know what it is to open our mouth. But sometimes when our parents are telling us no, we just need to back up and stop a minute and say, let me think about this, right? Just pause for a moment. See, our parents want to lead us down the right path. Most good parents will lead you down a good path, right? God is a heavenly parent who's always leading us down the right path. Look at these scriptures. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. Psalm 18:32-36, you broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. You ever turned your ankle? Man, I played so many basketball games when I came down wrong on somebody else's foot with my ankle, and it just went, and you know, you got your high tops on if you're smart, and you just tighten them up so it doesn't hurt as bad. Just keep on playing, right? And then you get home and ice it down, right? That's the way you do it. But God likes to broaden the path so that we don't stumble. Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path." God says, "Okay, I'll do that. Not a problem." Psalm 119:35 says, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for in them I find delight." Right? It goes on to say in Psalm 119:35, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, I told you last week we had a pop quiz. So we got a pop quiz right now. Now, this won't be on the final exam, but I got to see if you remember from last week to this week. How many verses are in Psalm 119? Anybody online know? You want to yell it out? We can't hear you. Who said 176? Gomez Ashley. Who else said that? 176. Awesome. 76 trombones led the big parade. That's how you can remember it. It's just 176. Nicely done. You did listen. That's awesome. Pastors like it when people listen. All right. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your path." Right? Great verse. All right. The third thing. We discover his purpose, and that is to restore our soul. We discover his paths that always lead us to righteousness. And the third thing this morning is we discover his perspective. Now, this is really important. We discover his perspective on life. Find Psalm 73. It's only 50 away from 23. Did I get the math right? Psalm 73. Amazing psalm here. There's two psalms that help us to understand God's perspective. One of them is Psalm 51 and then Psalm 73. We're going to look at 73 this morning. 73. And I've labeled this in my Bible, Cliff Notes on the Book of Job. So instead of reading the whole book of Job, you can just read this psalm, and it kind of sums everything up. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." He'd gotten off the wrong path, okay? We were just talking about that. "Why? Because I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, there are almost 3,000 billionaires on the planet today. We think we're in a culture war. We think we're heading to World War III. All these things you see in the headlines. We're really in a war between billionaires. You got the conservative, you know, traditional billionaires, and you got the left-wing radical billionaires, and they're duking it out with their money, right? They're spending millions and millions and billions of dollars pushing their causes around the world. So it's really a battle of billionaires that we're faced with in this world. And if you step back and look at it that way, you'll go, "Oh, I see what's going on now. It's all about money," which, you know, God has already told us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? The love of money, not money itself. Money itself is amoral, but the love of it. So the psalmist is saying, I looked at all these billionaires and they were arrogant, but look at the prosperity. Look what they have. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. You know, there's a billionaire right now that's working on, he does like 25 or 30 different tests every day on himself. And then he injects himself with 25 or 30 or 40, 60, 100 different things, right? You can read the article at some point. So he can live longer, right? He's still going to die. 100% chance of death, right? You're not going to get out of it. You might make it to 104, 114. You're going to die, right? The earth suit is going to collapse, right? But he's convinced with his billions that he can do all these things to his body and he's going to live forever. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Now he's going on, he's moaning and groaning and griping right now. He said, look at what's going on, right? "Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their mind know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Boy, have we seen that in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. If we've not been an oppressed nation and world with all the stuff that's going on, just pick a topic, right? We're seeing that right in front of us. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. And what's, in other words, I control everything. I'm going to control everything. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. In other words, they're influenced by the influencers to live this lifestyle, right? They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? In other words, they're saying, God doesn't care. God's not there. What God? There's no God anymore. I am God, right? That's what they're saying. So this is what the wicked are like. They're always carefree, and they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my pure heart. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. Now, you need to understand when he's saying this, he's saying it in a mocking tone, right? He's not really saying it about himself. He's saying, this is what I could say. He's looked at all this stuff. He's been upset. He said, this is what I could say, that serving God, I served him in vain. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, it says, they looked at giving the offering, and they said, what a burden it is to serve God. Malachi 1:13, look that up. What a burden it is. And that's what the psalmist is pretending to say. I'll get to the next verse in just a second. He's saying, what a burden to God. I've been so pure. I've lived a holy, pure life. I've stayed on the path, right? Why did I do all that? Why waste my time? Why have I wasted my time serving God when I could have gone out and become a billionaire and rule the world? Look what he said in verse 15. However, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. Okay, he's saying, I can't, as a child of God, I can't act this way. I can't think this way about people, is what he's saying. And I can't buy into what they're doing. I can't become them. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Watch this. It's the key verse, 17. Until I entered the sanctuary of God and I understood their final destiny. You see, when we worship, when we enter the throne room of God in worship, right, we gain a different perspective on life. So as we sit here, and we look at the billionaires, right, the people running the world, trying to run the world and ruin the world. We look at it and we're just oppressed, right? What is going on? You know, why is this happening? But when we enter the throne room of God, God says, Jim, you need to understand, right? If they're trusting in their money, they're going to die and go to hell. Period. If they're trusting in their money and not in me and not in God, they're going to die and go to hell. We need to gain perspective on who we are serving. We're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, right? God Almighty himself, Elohim, Ehei Asher, Ehei, right? Emmanuel, that's who we are serving. The psalmist said, I entered the sanctuary of God, and all of a sudden, my perspective changed on life. Look what it says. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakens, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. In other words, I spoke before I gained perspective. Yet I am always with you. They are not. I am always with you. The lost are not. I'm changing my whole perspective on this. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into your glory. Whom am I? Who have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And those who are far from you, they will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. And here it is. I will tell of your deeds. Right. So his perspective was, yeah, these people are bad. They're doing bad things. I'm going to keep my relationship with God, but I'm going to tell them about God. You see, he changed his perspective of hating them, despising them, and their wickedness, and saying, I got to go tell them about God because they're going to hell. He gained a whole new perspective. And when we worship God in spirit and in truth, we gain a whole new perspective for the lost. And we look at the heathen, the pagan, and we say, why do you act that way? It's because they're heathens and pagans. That's how they act, right? We're expecting a pagan or a heathen to act like a Christian. It's not going to happen. They don't have that guidance of the Holy Spirit in their life. We must go to them and say, this is not the best path. You need to pick a better path. Let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus and him alone. Stop trusting in your money, your wealth, your fame, your power, and your arrogance. Trust in Jesus. That's what the psalmist came away from when he entered the sanctuary of God, is I got to go tell some lost people about Jesus. See, God changes our perspective on life. He'll change your perspective on what kind of car you buy. Instead of buying the $100,000 car, maybe you buy the $12,000 car, right? Because it gets you from point A to B just like the $100,000 car. He might change in your line of work where you think you're supposed to do this and God says, I really need you over here. Your skill sets will work great over here. We gain a different perspective. You may be dating that young lady and God says, that's not the one for you. Right? I've got somebody different. We gain a different perspective from God when we enter his sanctuary. When we worship in spirit and in truth, he just opens our eyes to a new reality. So I want to encourage you to discover more about who God is as we worship in spirit and truth. In particular, I really want you to discover his perspective from heaven looking down instead of our perspective from earth looking back up at heaven. You know, the Lord's Prayer says that we're to pray that heaven comes to earth, right? Heaven comes to earth. And that's what his perspective is in our life, is what he sees coming to earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can gain your perspective on life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that you've freely given it to us. Thank you, Jesus, for making the way so that we can gain God's perspective. We can worship him in spirit and in truth and in his presence. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins, coming back to life again so that we can have that relationship with our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our worship leader and guiding us into worship in spirit and in truth. Come, Holy Spirit, right now and help us gain a different perspective on whatever it is in our life that is troubling us today. Help us have a different perspective on it now, in this moment, as we enter this week in front of us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.